and welcome to today's Job Seeker broadcast. Our topic for today is building rapport with hiring managers, both online and offline. So have you been getting no responses to your job applications? I mean, you have received no responses. Has it been 2 weeks since you heard from your last interview and you really wanted to know if you got the job? What about an offer you receive which isn't exactly what you wanted? The pay and the benefits are much lower than you expected. Well, if any of these feelings and issues are nagging at you, I am glad you've tuned in for today's Job Seeker broadcast. I hope our show will give you an edge for your job search and just maybe land you that special position. You can join our show's discussion by emailing me your questions. My email address that is forwarded directly to me is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. And today, I am joined by a special guest co-host, George Dutch, out of Ottawa, Canada. George is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And you can see George's picture and bio. Just click preferred counselors on our bar. Hello, George.
Hello, John.
How are you today?
I'm just fine, and I'm delighted to be joining you once again on this Job Seeker broadcast.
And I am, too. You are one of our top guest co-hosts, George. You have many years of experience. As a matter of fact, George has been helping men and women advance in their careers since 1992, and that's over 20 years. His career transition company is entitled Job Joy. He hosts his own weekly radio show entitled Career Connection. George also does consulting for Fortune 500 companies, all levels of government agencies, nonprofits, ministry organizations, and small business firms. He has authored two publications, Job Joy and Job Boot Camp. And we're going to be getting the benefit of all those years and all that work that George put into his craft. For the first 15 minutes of our show, George and I will talk about our topic, building rapport with hiring managers, and then we'll take a short break and begin to answer your job hunting questions, which we receive during the beginning and during our show. So, George, let's launch into our topic, how to win the trust and respect of hiring managers. And you and I have previously talked this to some degree to prepare for the show. And I think we probably need to start with a definition. Exactly what is a hiring manager? Why don't you take it from there?
Sure. A hiring manager is somebody basically who's got the power to hire a job seeker. So it's somebody in a frontline management position or a C-level executive who has hiring authority. And it's a bit of a misleading term because it conjures up this false notion that they spend all their time hiring. They don't. They spend all their time managing. They're managing plans and priorities and programs and projects and budgets and schedules and equipment and machinery. And on top of all that, they have to hire. And the reality is, I mean, I've been a hiring manager as well as somebody on the other side of the table seeking a job. And the reality is I was never trained to hire. I never went through any kind of training program to hire people. I didn't particularly enjoy hiring. It's very stressful. And I'm not sure I was particularly good at it either. And I think these are qualities that many hiring managers share. So I have a lot of empathy for people that are in the hiring manager position. It's not an easy thing to hire other people.
Yeah, absolutely, George. You and I have had different backgrounds. We've both applied ourselves to our trade, and I know we have not compared notes, and we've come to the same conclusion that most hiring managers have absolutely no training, and they don't like to do it. So here's a conversation that's starting. The manager doesn't want to be there. The job applicant doesn't want to be there. Boy, this thing is headed for disaster. And I would just put my two cents in here that the job applicant loses if the job applicant doesn't make it easy for that hiring manager to hit a home run on that job interview. So the the responsibility is on the shoulders of the job interviewer to make sure that everything that needs to be said and clarified and communicated during the interview is done, as opposed to just sitting there waiting to answer the questions. You agree, George?
I do, and I think there's a lot of prep work that has to be done before you even get to the interview stage in terms of building rapport with hiring managers.
Well, staying on with the definition now, a second question is, so why do employers hire?
Well, they hire for all kinds of reasons, and I think we have to be careful about generalizing a hiring manager's behavior as across the board and the same in every situation. It's not. They're subject to the vicissitudes and variabilities of life just like everybody else. They're human beings, after all. So there's all kinds of reasons that they hire. But basically, managers don't have a choice. They have to hire because in any organization, it exists, whether it's in the public or private or nonprofit sector. Every organization exists for a reason. It has a reason for existing, a mandate, a mission that it's trying to fulfill, and it establishes corporate goals and objectives to reach that mission or attain that mandate, and then it hires managers to make sure that those goals and objectives are achieved. But you know as well as I do, John, when you have a goal in life, does the universe allow you to achieve it quickly and easily with no problems?
Right.
Not likely. And it's the same for what's true for individuals is true for organizations. We live in a universe of adversity. The nature of reality is adversity. Things get in the way of our best laid plans, our most clearly defined goals, our most heartfelt objectives. That's, in fact, why we put our children into sports early in life, because if you're going to run down the football field with a football in your hands, you're going to get hit, knocked down, tackled, and you have to get up again and start over. Sports is a metaphor for the adversity of life, and what's true for us as individuals is true for organizations in the public, private, and nonprofit sector. They don't easily achieve their corporate goals and objectives. That's why they hire managers, and that's why managers are handsomely rewarded and recognized. They have a lot of responsibility to help organizations reach their corporate goals and objectives. And
yeah,
let's face it, all organizations live and die by the competency of their management teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you've run across these statistics, George, but what I find is that 80% of hires are made before any kind of vacancy announcement is made available to the general public. So that means there's an inside circle, there's a hidden list, positions sort of evolve because business has picked up or opening a new branch office or so-and-so's retiring, and before you know it, somebody's being groomed or somebody knows somebody who knows somebody and the position is filled. Wait a minute, nobody got a chance to apply. And that's 80%. So it does begin to suggest that there is an alternative way where most hiring decisions are made, not just applying for jobs because the vacancy is posted. So, George, let's move to all this years of wisdom and advice you have about how the job hunter, the job seeker, can get linked up with the hiring managers online. So we're going to do this for how to link up with hiring managers online and then offline. So let's go to the online first.
Okay. First, I just want to elaborate a little bit on why they're waiting for you to connect with them. If you're a job seeker, the manager is waiting for you to connect with them because they have so many problems and challenges and issues and pressures that are getting in the way of their corporate goal. They're just waiting for you to either connect with them online or walk through the door to make it easier for them to hire you, because these problems, challenges, the resolution of these problems and challenges, they can't wait for a job vacancy to be filled. In many large organizations, it takes 12 to 16 months to fill a job vacancy when you jump through all the hoops that are necessary to comply with rules and regulations. That work needs to be done now. And work is nothing more than activity organized around the problems and challenges and issues that get in the way of these corporate goals and objectives. So that's why there's always jobs available. That's why these 80% of hires it's always percolating away in the background because there's always work that needs to be done to solve these problems that are ever present in our lives as corporations and as individuals. So that's why we're waiting for you to connect with them.
Yeah, let's just toss out a couple more statistics, and that is, and this is U.S. government survey. I'm sure the same is true for Canada. There's a 25% turnover in the labor force every year. So that means if there's a company of 100 people, 25 people every year will be moving into different positions. Now, that turnover could be internal. They may be bringing some people outside, but that's something you can count on. That's why it's so important that you choose the organizations you want to go for, and then you invest the time to get to know the decision makers. It's just a matter of time they're going to be hiring. Another statistic that I use is that every 2 years there's a 50% turnover in managers. New manager comes into the department. What's that person going to do? They're going to hire their they're going to clean out some folks, and they're going to bring in new folks. So very, very important motivation for our job hunter to proactively go connect and be available and get to meet these hiring people. So sorry to cut you off there, George. Keep going. We're on a good run here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up those statistics, and I want to encourage you to announce them again in the second half of the program. They are fundamental to a job search because people get so discouraged by sending out resumes and then not getting any feedback or calls for interviews, but they forget this fundamental principle that you just identified. There's always jobs, and and managers are always hiring because of turnover, that 25% turnover. And we have to remember, this isn't turnover that's a result of economic conditions, like when a company goes bankrupt and they lay everybody off. Most of that turnover occurs because of the human condition. People leave jobs of their own volition for all kinds of reasons. Let's not forget them. People die. People take retirement. People take early retirement if they're lucky enough to win that Powerball. And people get sick on the job, and then they take long-term disability and they never come back to work. People get married on the job, and then their spouse gets transferred to California or New York and they have to move with them. People get pregnant on the job and they go home and take care of the kids for 5 or 10 years on the mummy track, or if they're a high-powered female executive, the man goes home on the Mr. Mom track these days. People get divorced. They have to sell the family asset and they take the money and run off to Mexico or a different part of the U.S. or closer to family and friends. People get bored at work, go back to school full-time to get an MBA. People join the reserves and get shipped off to Afghanistan for a year or two. We can go on and on with the reasons that people leave jobs, but they do so, just like you said, John, at the astounding rate of 25% a year.
Yes. Now, we're getting a little bit off track on this words of wisdom here. You're going to lay on us about how to get linked up with those hiring managers online. So where we're sold, these opportunities are popping up right and left. All a person really needs is 10 organizations, and if they just get focused on those, something's going to pop. And let's pick it up after the break, George.
Sure.
Okay, John, we have a short 2-minute break. Today we've been talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan. We do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give their life meaning and purpose.
Do you really think that anyone, regardless of education, present job, or a reentry homemaker with no current marketplace skills, can really believe that there is something special out there?
Yes, Evan. I believe they can find a fulfilling career and get hired to do it.
You know, John, as I've talked with you about career advancement, I've been thinking about all those thousands of mid-career adults who go back to school to earn a college degree or even an advanced graduate degree, and yet...
Well, yeah, Evan, and yet they don't get hired in their field after they finish the degree, right?
Right. Yeah, it seems so sad.
Well, there is a brighter picture that advanced education can really pay off if only the student took the time to find his or her sweet spot and then choose a degree which complements the career choice.
Boy, that really makes sense. Can we talk more about this during the next break?
Certainly.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast and pick up where we left off.
And we're back with our Job Seeker broadcast. My special guest today is Counselor George Dutch from Ottawa, Canada. George is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And George has been helping men and women advance in their careers since 1992, well over 20 years. George, just before the break, we were getting into some of the key parts of the show, and that is how to get linked up with the hiring managers online. And I made the statement, because of all these opportunities that are popping up, it's worth somebody's time to zero in on a minimum of 10 preferred organizations and get connected with those hiring people. So tell us how to do that.
I'd be happy to. It's one of the trends that's occurred in the last couple of years is that people have been moving online to look for jobs. Everybody knows how to post a resume to a job board. But in the last 2 years, more jobs have been filled through LinkedIn than all the job boards combined. LinkedIn is not a job board, it's a business networking tool. And the reason that so many jobs are being filled through LinkedIn is because managers, hiring managers, are going onto LinkedIn to search for candidates and connect with them and engage them so they can start to qualify whether or not that candidate might be able to help them with attaining their corporate goals and objectives and solving some of the problems and issues that get in the way of those corporate goals. So the managers are on LinkedIn, and if the managers are there looking for you, you need to be on there so that you can be found.
There you go.
There's other social media tools, of course, like Twitter and Facebook, but LinkedIn is a great place to start because it's got such a critical mass of job seekers and managers looking for them, as well as recruiters, that
okay, so
it has
the picture you're painting of LinkedIn, I think it's good to kind of give our listeners a visual image. It's kind of like a meeting place. It's a watering hole. It's common. And that's where employers go and job hunters go. And we're trying to alert the job seeker that you need to be present at the place that seems to be a new meeting place, a new watering hole that employers will go. And the thing is, you won't know that they're looking at you. And there may be something in the works that's developing, and employers just want to see, well, who's out there that might be a possible candidate. So keep going, George. We're on a roll here.
Sure. So let's go back to these 10 companies that you recommended that job seekers come up with a list of preferred employers, 10 preferred employers. They can research them on LinkedIn. They can look for those companies on LinkedIn. They can identify the employees in those companies that are members of LinkedIn, including the hiring managers. And the way they can connect with the hiring managers is they can see which professional groups the hiring manager is a member of. They can join those groups as well online, and they can monitor the posts that the manager puts up or responds to. They can put up their own posts and comment on them. And if this language of posts and commenting and going online is a bit strange, it's not that difficult to learn how to use LinkedIn effectively for job search. It has a wonderful learning center. If you just go to LinkedIn and type into the search bar on LinkedIn Learning Center, they have wonderful short informative videos and articles that teach you how to use LinkedIn for job search efficiently and effectively. And one of the ways you want to do that is to connect to managers through the groups, the professional groups that they're members of, and you can research a lot about their companies and the managers themselves on LinkedIn because everybody's information is there.
I think what you and I are both agreeing to, George, is key, is if somebody is going to be competitive in today's job hunting world, this is a tool that has proven itself, and it's really no different if you're going to use a laptop or a notebook. There's certain things you got to get up to speed on. If you buy a smartphone versus a dumb phone, learn how to learn how to use that smartphone. So the same thing, and it is not that difficult, but it does take practice. And I just want to vouch at this point, people may feel this is a very small thing, but that picture is very important. It needs to be a recent one and pay the dollars to have one done nicely, not just some picture of you and your cat. So I put my little two cents in there. Keep going, George. How are we going to hook up to these managers online? Keep going.
Well, you can hook up with them directly because their information is there, so you can connect with them, or you can connect with them through somebody that you already know that might be connected with them. LinkedIn will show you the levels of connections that separate you from that particular hiring manager. And you need to follow, as you just mentioned, a kind of etiquette, an online etiquette. You have to remember, again, about human nature. These managers are busy, and they don't want to be bothered unnecessarily. So you don't want to be sending messages to them saying, hey, I really want to work with you. Can you help me? Will you hire me? That's not the proper etiquette. You want to be able to understand, again, corporate goals and objectives, the kinds of challenges they might be facing. You want to be able to provide them with some value, link them to an article that might be helpful, tell them about another organization you know about. You'll learn this etiquette. That's the advantage of getting online and, as you said, practicing.
Yes. And, I think the most startling thing that before LinkedIn ever came to be, we were coaching job seekers to contact everybody they know and ask the question, do you know anyone at Nike? Do you know anyone at Intel? Do you know anyone at HP? Well, LinkedIn already does that for you. It will tell you if you know someone that knows someone. And I think the key thing here is that someone that knows someone, it doesn't have to be the hiring person, just someone on the inside where you have some type of a connection, a friend, a mutual friend. And you want to then groom that into getting a relationship going, and that's the next part that we're going to move to, George, is how to build rapport with the hiring managers offline. So if we've identified the hiring manager and we seem to find a way where somebody knows somebody, now what do we do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as a segue to that, I've got lots of questions pouring in. I think this topic has sparked a lot of people's interest, and so I've got a lot of questions coming in. So let me give you a question, and we can talk about how this person might we can answer the question by showing how this person might connect with somebody online, and then that will segue us into how they can build on that relationship offline. This is actually
excellent.
From Elias, and his name is Elias, and he's in Greece. So here's the power of the Internet in action right here. He says, I am an electrical engineer with an MBA, educated in the U.S. My work has been in commercial construction with a large international construction company. I'm currently in Greece wanting to return to the U.S., but I have no job prospects. Can you provide some advice? Take a crack at that.
Well, talk about a challenging situation. This one is fraught with all kinds of problematic issues because Elias is not in the U.S. He wants a job in the U.S., but there's some hidden nuggets here, some hidden golden nuggets. So my first stab at this would be, George, that Elias indicated that he is educated in the United States. He's graduated from two different institutions where he got his electrical engineering degree and then when he got his MBA. And I'm assuming the MBA came later. So the very first thing that Elias should do is plan a trip to the campus where he got his MBA. And this is after he's started some correspondence with the career placement office. But what he wants to do is he wants to develop his network with alumni that have graduated from the MBA program, as well as connecting with professors under whom he took classes, asking them for names of graduates that are in certain companies. Now, Elias has to do his research. He has to choose those 10, 20, 30, 40 companies where there is some indication of interest or compatibility with his background, and then needs to be focused in asking the questions of the career placement office and also the professors. And he can do the same thing on that same trip with the campus where he was, where he graduated with electrical engineer. Now, it's true that he could email. It's true that he could do this all by phone, but he won't get the full benefit of referrals until he goes face-to-face. And it's very, very possible that those individuals, knowing that he's coming to visit with him, will say, oh, by the way, you need to stop over and see so-and-so while you're in town. He just talked to me last week. There's a 50% chance of that. So if Elias is serious about moving to the United States for employment, he's going to have to invest in a trip to get his network started, and at that point, maybe during that trip he might have some interviews, but at least get that network of contacts going. So, George, I put the sail up and I got this boat going. Take over and move us to the next level.
Yeah, I think that's all great advice. I would also suggest there's a number of things he could do, some spade work before he leaves Greece, again on the internet. For example, he could go to the schools where he graduated as an electrical engineer, as an MBA, look at the graduation list from those years, and his memory will be triggered of people that he met in that class that he formed some friendships with. He could look them up on LinkedIn and connect with them through LinkedIn, see what they're doing now, and job prospect that way through previous connections. He could also check out the IEEE, the International Association of Electrical Engineers, and see what chapters exist in different parts of the U.S. and see how many of them include members who specialize in commercial construction. He could go do the same thing for associations that are involved in commercial construction, and again go on LinkedIn and on the internet and do searches of people that he remembers from different conventions and conferences that he might have attended, different companies that he worked for, companies that have operations in Greece. He can connect that way through people. There's a lot of spade work that he can do on the internet through the social media.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought up the IEEE, very, very powerful association. Those members are just, it's like a fraternity or sorority. And then there's that subchapter that's related to construction. I find with clients that I encourage to network with the associations, they get a lot more mileage if they physically go to the office, to the building. And you and I know that the IEEE has probably got a staff of 20 people, and that's all they do is they help their members. Now, hopefully, Elias is a member. If not, he better become a member to get this huge benefit that's out there. George, this is great. Let's keep this going after the break.
We will.
We're taking a short 2-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about pursuing an advanced degree as a strategic step to a better job. John, in our last break, you suggested that more education can be a curse as well as a blessing.
That's right, Evan. If a person chooses more education to acquire skills they don't have...
You mean innate skills they don't have.
Right. Someone who thinks they can gain hardwiring skills through education, well, I'm sad to say that for this person, there will be limited career success.
Hmm. So give us the positive side of the coin.
Well, the good side is that by choosing wisely, that is, the right career, an advanced degree can work wonders and even help the person get hired with the employer of their choice.
Well, that sounds encouraging. And I know you have more on this subject, like how does one know if a new career is really right for them and worth all that additional education?
That's right, Evan. We can discuss that on our next break. how to know for sure, for sure.
Thanks, John. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's go back to our broadcast.
And here we are back to our Job Seeker broadcast. My special guest today is Counselor George Dutch from Ottawa, Canada. George has been counseling men and women in their career advancement for over 20 years. And you can see George's picture and read his bio on our website. Just click Preferred Counselors on our toolbar. Now, George, we were coaching Elias in Greece. We really got a lot of mileage out of that. Is there anything more before we try to do another example of how to connect and develop rapport with hiring managers?
I think I'd like to turn to Tammy's question. Tammy is in Salem, Oregon, not far from you, John, and she says, I seem to get dead-end jobs which have no future. The good jobs are out of my reach. What can I do? And I think I would start by reminding Tammy of the three key actions in any kind of proactive job search, and that is to, as you said, put together a list of preferred employers. Where do you want to work, Tammy? Which organizations are the kind of organizations you'd like to work for, ones that you might think at this point are out of reach? Then you'd have to get the name of the person that you'd probably report to in that particular, each of those organizations, your hiring manager. And then you want to get face-to-face with that hiring manager. Those are the three steps in any proactive job search.
Absolutely, yes. And I would even say, as you and I also, we're not just job seeker coaches. We're also career counselors. And just putting my counseling hat on, one of the things that Tammy is going to need when she approaches a, let's say, a real job instead of one of these dead-end jobs, she's going to approach this question, well, I'm looking at your past, and you've had jobs that really don't have much substance in future. How do I know that you are going to stick with it and really be committed, because the people at work here are really serious? Well, Tammy's going to have to answer that question, and most of my clients, and I'm sure yours, George, are not actors and actresses. They're not good at creating a story, and if they tried, it would come off with sort of a plastic tone to it. So Tammy has to be genuinely passionate about working for company A, B, C, D, because they make a difference, they're green, they're contributing to helping people that are homeless or whatever it is. But Tammy has to have that passion. And then, as you just said, George, she has to know the job that she is qualified to do in that company and then identify the hiring person. Now, if Tammy is going out and saying, well, this looks great, maybe I want to do that, if Tammy hasn't met the person doing that and doesn't know what that person does 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever the working hours are, Tammy is going to get squashed like a bug. And it's going to hurt so much, she's not going to go back and do it again. So there's quite a bit of prep work, if you and I put our counseling hat on, George, which is how we help people. But Tammy really needs to know, I want that job for these three reasons. I really like it. There's a future to it, and I'm good at it. And then that's beginning to separate her from all the other people that are wanting to compete for that position. Any more that we can say for Tammy here?
Yeah, when she says that the good jobs are out of my reach, that's a strong assumption on her part. And I just want to point out that when people go on a job search, very often they focus on their own needs and priorities. It's all about me, my resume, my experience or my lack of experience, my recent credentials, I'm too old, my age, my gender. They focus on their needs and priorities, forgetting that unless they start their own business and hire themselves as the CEO, they're always going to be dependent on somebody else to hire them. And that person is that hiring manager. And what really matters in a hiring situation is the needs and priorities of the hiring manager. And that's what Tammy has to tap into. She has to get into a conversation with somebody who has the power to hire her, and she has to get them talking about their needs and priorities, which are organized around, again, the corporate goals and objectives of that organization and the kinds of problems and challenges that that manager is responsible for resolving. Once Tammy gets a sense of where that company is going, its priorities, and the kinds of problems and challenges they're facing, then she can think about how her set of skills and knowledge and experience might be of some help, might be able to add some value. But this idea that of focusing on yourself first is really the wrong approach to take to a job search. You really need to be focusing on the needs and priorities of the hiring managers.
Absolutely, yes. Now, George, for Tammy's benefit and some of these other job seeker questions that have been sent to us, why don't we address this issue? Let's say that somehow the job seeker actually has an opportunity to meet with a hiring manager. Now, there isn't necessarily a vacancy in mind. The job seeker doesn't know if there's a vacancy, but they know that that person is in charge of a good-sized department. They are going to be hiring somebody within the next year, and it's worth their time to develop rapport, to get a relationship going. How do you coach your clients? What do you tell your clients to do in that type of meeting?
Well, the first thing I tell them to do is to try to be as natural as possible, to remember that the hiring manager is a human being just like them, and the way to connect with human beings is to talk about things that matter to them, like their family, like their job, like their personal interests. So you want to establish rapport, because basically people want to like you before they're going to open up to you. So
right.
You want to be natural and not rush things in terms of, remember, when you're talking to somebody, there's no job there today. There will be a job in 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months because of that turnover that we're talking about. But today there's probably no job. So you're not there to get a job. That's the first thing you have to remove from your mind. The purpose of meeting that hiring manager is not to get a job, but to establish rapport, because they're not going to hire you until they feel safe with you.
Yeah, and I would even jump in and say, if you try to nail that employer to the wall and say, here's my resume, I'm really looking for a job, we've already established that employers don't like those kind of conversations, and that employer may be offended and dislike you, and you've just you've blown it. you've eliminated the possibility of something in the future.
It's so true, John, because when you look at the hiring process from a hiring manager's point of view, it's a risk assessment exercise. Their first priority is to protect and promote their own career. That means they're not going to make a decision or take an action that might jeopardize or threaten their career. And the truth is, they don't know you well enough to evaluate whether or not you're a threat to their career, whether or not you pose any kind of risk to them. That's the whole point of a conversation, getting to know you so they can make that kind of risk evaluation, that risk assessment.
So George, what would be a topic, a conversation starter? Let's assume that our job seeker hates breaking ice. They're not good at starting conversations. They're all thumbs. And going back to Elias, you know, electrical engineers are not paid to start conversations. They're paid to do design work. So how do you coach clients to get a professional, honest, and not a pretensive kind of conversation going that has some value to that employer and certainly has value to the job hunter?
Sure. Let me answer that by, again, addressing one of the questions that have been sent to us. I'm trying to recognize the fact that we've got a lot of questions here, so I want to get through them. David in Little Rock, Arkansas says, I teach history online and would like to advance to a full-time campus faculty position. How can I break into the tight college circles? Well, here's how I would answer his question and yours as well, John, when you get face-to-face with the dean of a history department at a brick-and-mortar college, for example, David, you don't want to talk about the conversation shouldn't start at the level of what that dean is doing in that particular college. You always want to start a conversation with a hiring manager at an industry level, a sector level, at that higher level. People are very comfortable talking about trends and issues in their industry or sector. In fact, when you think about it, the reason that hiring managers go to conferences, conventions, professional association meetings is so that they can stay up to date on trends and issues that might have an impact on the way their organization does business or on the way that they do their job. So what you're trying to do is tap into the same level of interest that the hiring manager has, the same sort of concerns, or in blunt terms, the same pain points they have, by discussing trends and issues in the industry or sector that might have an impact on their particular organization. Everybody feels safe talking about trends and issues.
Absolutely. And now I think you're touching on, George, that there's something in it for the employer. I would even add this caveat to sweeten the deal for the job seeker. Go ahead and research what the trends are. You'll find those. The best place I like to go is the reference librarian, and you can email that topic online, and the reference librarian for your metro library in 2 days will come back with a whole flood of articles that have been written. They're better than just going on Google and asking the question. And so now you're coming with some trend issues, some topics that you're researching, and you're asking that dean, you're asking that department head, I'd like to get your opinion on this. Are you finding this to be true? Do you feel this way, or there's this other article that I've read that is just the opposite on that issue? How do you feel about that? And all of a sudden, you're engaged in a very high-level discussion, and that employer's forgotten about where you're coming from, what your credentials are, and on. They're into the conversation, and we're having a good meeting.
Yes, and not only that, while you're having that kind of important discussion, or at least a substantive discussion, there's substance to it, there's meat to it, at the same time, they are evaluating you. You're coming across as competent, reliable, dependable. You're asking intelligent questions. They're starting to warm up to you. You're building a rapport. This is solid ground for building the kind of rapport that leads to job offers.
Yeah, but I would say, George, quickly, you and I are in 100% agreement here. I would caution our job seeker to not do what a lot of amateurs will do, is they try to sneak in about every third word, and I have 20 years experience, and oh, by the way, I got a 3.8, and did you know that I had my picture taken with the president, and all these little kind of one-upsmanship, name-dropping things. Employers hate that stuff. If you just are sincere and you are motivated and you can keep the conversation going, that employer's no dummy. That employer's going to say, boy, this is an excellent discussion. I hope we can stay in touch. And that's the point. The end of that first relational step, the whole goal of it is to have a connection so you can meet again, and we'll finish this up after the break.
We're taking a short 2-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley about the wisdom of pursuing an advanced degree as a strategic step to a better job. John, in our last break, you left us hanging with the statement that we could know the right career for sure, for sure. Those were your very words, that we could know if a future career direction is right and worth any investment of more education.
Right, Evan. Those were my very words. You can know the right career for sure, for sure.
Okay, so how does one know?
Well, let's think about house hunting. You are meeting with a realtor and asking that person to help you find the ideal home that has, say, 3 bedrooms, a good neighborhood, and so on. The realtor does a computer search and finds 5 houses for sale which fit your preferences.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Well, here you have the pictures, and on the computer you can take a virtual tour of each house. Are you ready to make a decision to buy that one?
well, no, I'm not ready. Virtual reality is good for a start, but I need something more tangible. I mean, I want to see the house. I want to walk in the rooms, look at the backyard.
You mean you want to walk through the house before you buy it, right?
Right.
Well, that is the same approach to selecting your ideal career. You want to meet the person who has your job.
You mean meet face-to-face?
Yes, face-to-face at the job site, not over coffee. To make a confident decision, you need to see, feel, touch, taste, hear, smell, talk, and finally dream. Then you will know for sure, for sure.
So where are you going to find that person? I don't know all the people employed out there in 50 states.
Well, Evan, because this step of career validation is so important, our mid-career advancement services provide that link for our clients to find that person in their city who represents each recommended career.
So the hopeful career seeker can know for sure, for sure.
Yes, he and she can know for sure, for sure.
Well, John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the stress of a dead-end job to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring. You will see the reference preferred counselors at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show. Let's return.
Let's do it.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. And now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
And here we're back to the final quarter of our show, our Job Seeker broadcast. My special guest today is Counselor George Dutch from Ottawa, Canada, who's been coaching men and women in their job search for over 20 years. George, just before the break, we were really on a roll there talking about what exactly is a person supposed to talk about when they have that golden opportunity to have a conversation with a hiring person. And what I recall attempting to say was, don't try to go in there and tell the person how great you are. You want to have a topic that is of that employer's interest and get engaged in an exciting, dynamic conversation. Employers are not dummies. They can spot someone who is informed and up to speed, and the employer can ask, well, could we stay in touch? I really enjoyed talking to you. And it's that first, the goal of that first meeting is not to get a job. The goal of that first meeting is to start a relationship so that when that person is hiring, you're the first person on the list. You're in the front chair. Good employers are always looking for good people, and they know that when they need a good person, the time to search is not when they have a need. It's to have those relationships so when they have a need, they just go out there and pull that person in and say, hey, we haven't talked in a while. Can we catch up because something's happening? So, George, I've been waxing eloquent here. Jump in and maybe some more comments, or let's take on another question.
Well, I think to go back to what you said earlier, that there's a 25% turnover rate in the American workforce. 25 out of 100 people leave their job of their own volition or for some reason in 12 months, within the next 12 months, starting today, December 25th. So managers, you're quite right, are trying to put people in their pipeline before they need them, because they're going to need them, guaranteed, in the next 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. That's inevitable. So you want to get into their pipeline. And the way to do it is not what you said. It's not to sell yourself. In fact, I hope your listeners will write this phrase down. It's not about me. And underline me, circle me, bolded in yellow, put three exclamation marks beside it.
Yeah.
Okay, because we're so conditioned. There's powerful social conditioning. We've all been taught to sell yourself. And so people like that door-to-door salesman stick their foot in the door and force themselves in. That doesn't work, like you said. Managers hate that. Whereas relational selling is about building up trust and respect with the hiring manager so that they like you, they feel safe with you, and it's that trust and respect that fosters the job offer because that's how human relationships are developed. So I hope remember these simple principles of human nature. They're so important in the job search process.
Yeah, and, you know, get the visual image you gave of that door-to-door salesperson. We can compare and contrast that pushy person that tries to browbeat you, that you need their product. You can't slam the door fast enough to get that person out of your hair. But on the other hand, if someone did come to your door and say something like, I noticed that you have gutters on your house, and I'm just wondering if you've ever taken the time to inspect them to see if they're clean, I would be very delighted to provide that assistance to you if that's something that you needed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's an engaged topic that doesn't, in a sense, slam the person against the wall, but it's something that the person has thought through to get a conversation going that hopefully has the interest of the employer instead of all about me, as you're saying, George. I think that's absolutely excellent. It's not about me.
Yep. So let's go to Todd now in Montana and apply some of these principles to his situation. Todd says, I just finished an associate's degree in renewable energy, but there are no job opportunities out here. Most of my past work has been in technical mechanical jobs. How can I use my degree and my past experience?
Well, this is an interesting dilemma. It's an interesting question. Todd is saying that he chose to pursue an associate's degree in renewable energy, and then he says, all the time that I was pursuing my degree, I've come to the realization there are no job opportunities out here. It sounds like there's not much of a need or an emphasis on renewable energy where he's located. So, George, you know, it sounds to me like the first thing I would say that Todd needs to do, he's got to go back to his professors where he got his degree, and he's got to say, where have all the graduates gone that have gone ahead of me? What are they doing, and can you make some personal referrals to them? And certainly, we've already talked about the benefit of LinkedIn and how Todd can find those individuals that are now out there that are classmates. You know, I'm just one of those that if I could get the professor to recommend that I contact so-and-so, when I contact that so-and-so with the professor's name, I think I'm going to get a little bit more warmth and compassion to kind of help me out. But that would be the first place. You know, George, the more I'm thinking about this, there's got to be some kind of relationship between renewable energy and something mechanical and technical. So that would be the second place that I think Todd ought to go. He's got to find some technical mechanical job titles in companies that should be and maybe are involved in renewable energy. Okay, let me pause there and let you take it a few more yards.
Yes, I think he has to answer those questions where and what. If he wants to work in renewable energy, where should he go? Which organizations are going to recognize and reward him for that associate's degree and that knowledge he now has? So he should probably do a Google search, the top 50 best employers in renewable energy in the United States or in the Northwest United States or something like that, because it sounds like he's willing to relocate if he wants to use his renewable energy degree,
yeah,
diploma. So he needs to answer where and what. He has to have some idea of the kind of job titles that match up with his degree, too, and he should be able to get those easily enough from different sources, but certainly from his program. They should have handed him a list of 20 to 40 job titles that match up with his degree. So once he is able to answer where and what, it's then a question of prospecting into those opportunities. Here's a simple job search tip for Todd and anybody else that's listening. Tell everybody you know what you're looking for and be specific. The average American knows about 250 people. So let's say you tell 50 people exactly what you're looking for.
Now, we're talking about going on Facebook, right?
Right. Well, we're talking about going on Facebook or doing it live in person with your Goodwill network, the people that are in your, you know, your circle of family, friends,
sure.
People you know from school, previous jobs, people you play sports with, you go to church with, you volunteer with, your mechanic, your dentist, your doctor, people in your neighborhood. Tell everybody you know exactly what you're looking for. And then ask them, do you know anybody I should talk to? Let's say you tell 50 people what you're looking for. Each one of those 50 people knows how many people, John?
Well, we should get at least one. Yeah, we should get at least one to three people out of those 50. Now, let's try to make the scenario just a tad more complex. Let's say Todd does not want to leave Montana. For some reason, the community college he attended has this degree program, and for some strange reason, there isn't a demand. It's not like the industry is saying, we need renewable energy associate arts degree graduates. For some reason, the college has his major, and there really aren't that many organizations. So how can Todd stay in his community and still try to stay in that renewable area and stay in his skill sets?
Well, he might not be able to stay in renewable energy, but he can stay in the energy sector.
Yeah. Well, I think we're out of time, George. Thank you
so
much.
That concludes our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group. He's been helping mid-career men and women find their sweet spot since 1973. John has authored 4 career advancement books. He led the development team for the premier IDAC Career Match instrument, which has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide. John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. And he's personally selected 12 of these 600 whom he highlights on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They're not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group, and they've not been paid any fee to be featured. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I invite you to join us next week at this same time for our next live broadcast. Say, do you know someone who is frustrated in their job search? Why not send them a tweet, email, or a Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcast by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening, best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.